Dr. Eben Alexander is here with us. He's the author. He spent a lot of time as an academic neurosurgeon. So he's written three different books dealing with some of the things that he's learned and had to deal with as a doctor. And we also have with us here today the co-author of his third book that I think you'll find really sort of the discussion around what he's written and why he's written it. Then Karen Newell will join us after we get a little background from the doctor. She's the second half of this third book. The first book, Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife. Dr. Alexander, welcome to Your Hidden Power.
Well, Doug, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
All right, so this book debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller. What nerve did you hit with this? Who's the reader? Who's believing this? Who are you trying to tell this story to?
Well, basically, I think it hit a nerve with basically all human beings. I mean, this is about stirring up some memories about reality that I think resonate with many, many people. And, of course, in Proof of Heaven, I would look at that more as kind of a question mark. It simply admits that these extraordinary near-death experiences, spiritually transformative experiences, can happen to any one of us. And yes, they can certainly happen to those who harbor kind of conventional scientific beliefs. And when they do, it shocks you no end. And that's exactly what I've had to deal with over the last 9 years, is trying to make sense of this in a way that, where my experience fits into my scientific worldview. And that's exactly what is happening now, because, in fact, the entire scientific community is going through an incredible transformation in our understanding of the relationship between the brain and mind, which has major implications for all human beings. Because anyone who's ever wondered what happens when I die, or questions like, is reincarnation and memories of past lives, is that real or not? The absolute reality is those who study such things scientifically are coming to realize that, yes, they are real. This is part of our human existence, and a deeper understanding of the nature of reality is in order. Our materialist science has failed, so it's time to really open it up.
Well, it fails because it's always disproving itself. That's my read on it. I think we have fabulous gains. Where would we be in terms of modern science without some of the healing efforts and things that go on as a result of what we find? But it takes itself too seriously, because there's nothing other than perhaps that which is the only thing that's perfect is the energy of whatever God you want to call it, the force, universal intelligence. But other than that, nothing is perfect. But yet we search for it, we strive for it. And one of the ways we do that, I think, is trying to figure out this business about moving ahead or backwards. We are a spiritual being in a human body that keeps moving and moving and moving through the universe. And it's hard for people to grasp that, because religion, among other things, religion and science together, I think, Doctor, have worked to keep people from understanding this. Do you think that's true or not?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And In fact, in Living in a Mindful Universe, in our newest book, we talk a lot about this and how this is a revolution going on in science all over the relationship of mind and brain, and that the conventional view, that is a physicalism, which postulates that only the physical world exists, is false. That's where quantum physics tries to usher us into a much richer understanding of the nature of reality. And the best news about all of this for the individual human being is it completely opens the door to the reality, not only of the afterlife, but of reincarnation. So,
you know,
the modern scientific world is waking up dramatically to these realities.
Before you mention it, I have my friend Uri Geller, who's going to join us later on in the conversation, always is talking about synchronicity. About 30 seconds before you said it, I wrote down quantum physics on a sheet of paper here in front of me. So the fact that you bring it together in this, the whole discussion. These books, by the way, I'm sure are available on Amazon. You have a website, too, do you not? I think it's evanalexander.com and sacredacoustics.com. So if you have any curiosity about any of this, and I certainly do, There is an understanding that you can glean from a man who has performed operations on people you have over the years. And I wonder what your, before you visited with these patients, you know, the brain tumors that you've operated on and aneurysms and strokes and that kind of stuff. Did you have a belief? Did you have a preconceived notion about any or all of this stuff before you had the experiences that you write about in these books?
Well, yes, I've fully bought into modern conventional scientific materialism. I thought the physical world is all that exists. Somehow the brain creates consciousness, even though I admitted nobody had the remotest clue how that could be.
Yeah.
And so I assumed all that was true. That's why my coma experience, where I had a severe meningoencephalitis, a bacterial infection of the brain that should have killed me and certainly should not have allowed for any kind of hallucination, dream, or drug effect, because my neocortex was so effectively dismantled by this infection. That's why the medical community certainly takes my story very seriously. And really, this is about a waking up of all of the scientific community to the reality of this, that our materialism is hopelessly lost and false worldview, and that we need a much bigger theater of operations to understand the nature of our existence and the meaning and purpose of our lives. And that's what Karen and I try and point out in Living in a Mindful Universe. I would also point out that there is a free 33-day email course at evanalexander.com. As soon as you get to that website, there's a little banner in your face so saying your 33-day journey into the heart of consciousness. I encourage everyone to participate in that 33-day journey. You can leave comments and interact with others. We're creating a community around all this. It's a workbook that goes with the book Living in a Mindful Universe.
I think that what you've caused me to do already is reflect. I think that what will happen to people when they read these books, if they haven't already, you start to reflect on what really matters in life, reviewing your experiences, examining the lessons that you have gained in your life. And if you're someone like most of us are, we're busy almost 24 hours a day. Every once in a while, you got to get off the merry-go-round because you always are asking, what's it all? Remember that old song, What's It All About, Alfie? So,
right?
So that's kind of what this is about. Well, all right, let's meet. Go ahead.
I would say this is really all about finding kind of the truth and meaning and purpose of each and every one of our individual lives. Mm-hmm. And that is something I do by going within. And sometimes people are a little worried about this notion of meditation or mindfulness, but it is a solution to so many of life's problems. I use sacred acoustics. That is the differential sound frequency brain entrainment that Karen Newell, my co-author, and her business partner, Kevin Cossey, who co-founded Sacred Acoustics, do to help people get into deep transcendental meditative states. And that's where I think we find so many of the answers and come to see that the voice in our head, the voice of our ego, is not our consciousness. And this is all about getting a much deeper and richer connection to that higher soul and that universal mind of which we are all a part. And going within is the way to do this. This is all fully explained, both in our email course. We cover a lot of the concepts, and that's free to everyone at evanalexander.com, and also, of course, in the book Living in a Mindful Universe.
All right, let's bring into our conversation Karen Newell, who has been referred here to several times by Dr. Eben Alexander. By the way, at the website, Dr. Alexander's name is spelled EbenAlexander. It's EbenAlexander, all one word, .com. So turning our attention to Karen Newell, who has spent a long time looking for the things that we all are. We're all looking for answers, Karen, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We want to know, why are we here and what is our purpose? And of course, I had those questions at a very young age. And as I went through life, I found really that science wasn't offering me those answers. Neither was organized religion. And, you know, nobody really seemed to have all the answers tied up in a neat little bow. And it really is up to each of us to kind of go on that search, you know, and seek that truth inside. And as I did that, I did a lot of reading of alternative texts, like Kabbalah, Theosophy, a lot of Western spiritual texts, a little bit of Eastern. And as I went along, I realized personal experience is key. Having a firsthand experience is really what teaches us to know these things deep inside, not just believe them on a surface level. And of course, Dr. Alexander had his coma experience that really put him into the deep end of the pool. But all of us can really cultivate those experiences ourselves. And I learned through remote viewing, animal communication, Reiki healing, you know, learned how to feel energy. And it really all led me to the idea that the heart is the center of everything. But to get to the heart is very challenging because our mind is constantly chattering along. And sacred acoustics audio technology can really help put the brain to rest and help us move into that internal intuitive sense.
And the website for that is sacredacoustics.com. If you're just joining us, we're having a conversation with Dr. Evan Alexander and author Karen Newell. Dr. Alexander's written a couple of books about his feeling the universe and what part we play in it. And now this latest book, Living in a Mindful Universe, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Heart of Consciousness. Dr. Alexander, what I didn't ask you was what happened to you after you had this experience, the coma, what it did to your mind. Did you go back to practicing, or did you just decide you wanted to pursue life differently and focus on these things that you're writing and talking about?
Well, I was working, coordinating global research for the Focused Ultrasound Surgery Foundation, a technology that's very exciting to me, when I went into coma. And I was back at that position within 3 months of my coma, something that my doctors and others would have thought to be absolutely impossible because they did not expect any such recovery.
So why? What do you attribute the recovery?
Well, it happens in profound near-death experiences. I mean, when you study other near-death experiences, like Anita Morjani, she had a very advanced lymphoma, was deep in coma, and then she had a miraculous healing. Or you look at Mary C. Neal's case, the orthopedic surgeon who drowned and was underwater for more than 30 minutes in Chile in a kayaking accident, and then had a complete recovery. So with this kind of very profound spiritual healing that you have in near-death experiences, it's just an example of what I would say is commonly encountered in the form of placebo effect. Placebo effect is very common out there. Something like 30% of the benefit of medical studies is usually just because people believe that they're taking something or have had a procedure that will make them better. It shows the power of mind over matter, which, of course, is what Karen and I are really portraying in Living in a Mindful Universe, that all of us have this extraordinary power over our lives, mm-hmm. just like we can manifest through placebo effect, but even more so, as in the miraculous healing of near-death experiences.
Why don't we all get it, then? Why don't we all get this connection, the evidence that you're talking about? You write about God. All of us here agree that God exists, but some people don't, or they see it differently. They feel subservient. And I wonder how, talking about quantum physics and that sort of thing, the spiritual being, how do we get to the point where we understand what you're suggesting is what we all ought to know?
Well, I think what's happened is our culture has taken this away from us. We've been taught by our scientific culture that these things aren't real. And so even when it does happen to us, we think we're crazy. We think it can't be real. Mm-hmm. And it's really a disservice to really, I love the title of your show, Our Hidden Power, because our culture really has taken it away from us. And we need to really fight to get it back. And that's really what we're trying to present here.
See, I think religion has done that in part, and politics, the power versus those who don't have power. Because that's the reason I call this Your Hidden Power, because we all have it, but people give it over, give it away, or don't ever take it. They give it to somebody else, and that's foolish.
Well, and you're speaking of very deep-seated belief systems, whether they're political, religious, scientific, cultural. Whatever they are, we grow up believing things that frankly just aren't true. And this is where we've gotten ourselves into so much trouble. And really starting over from scratch, taking away all those external beliefs, can really help us get down to what the truth is deep inside. And what we've found is that in reality, it seems so simple, but love is at the center of all of this. And we banter about that word very casually, but it is an incredibly important force that we all can touch by going within, feeling it for ourselves, and bringing that love back into our world. That is a belief that I feel we have lost and needs to be recovered.
Well, easier said than done, and
yes,
thus the focus on the things that you've written in this book, Living in a Mindful Universe, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Heart of Consciousness. A lot of words here, but if you are interested in insight, that's kind of what you get. And then there's practice. We all talk about praying, meditation, that sort of thing. I find I'm a farmer, in addition to being a broadcaster, I find my best time for prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, is out on the tractor. That's where.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a good point, because this, this spiritual realm, this reality of this greater mind exists where we are. We bring it to where we are. This is what I think is so important. The emerging scientific view of mind and brain and their relationship is really that we're all sharing one mind. It's that God consciousness, and all life shares this. And it really, by acknowledging our relationship to that force, that beautiful, infinite, healing power of unconditional love, we can all bring that into our lives and bring healing to this world.
Well, I find Ernest Holmes writes a lot about this in the Science of Mind books, and the one-mindedness of all this. It is one power, one mind. We're all together experiencing it. So perhaps you'll benefit by sharing some of your time. EbenAlexander.com for Dr. Alexander's information, and SacredAcoustics.com, some of the things that Karen Newell is working on. Both of you are to be congratulated. Thank you for being here. On the air now, a weekly conversation with Uri Geller gets started. Uri is perhaps one of the most potent and powerful minds in the world, has used his mind for good, continues to do all sorts of fabulous things that connect him to average people and to people who are wildly important. I don't know, important probably isn't the right word, wildly well-known. They all have over the years sought out Uri because he's an interesting character in his own right and has things that people want. And that's the way it works. People gravitate to other people who have hidden powers, and such is the course of our conversation here in Your Hidden Power. Uri's website is URIGELLER, urigeller.com. We've been talking about the one mind of the universe. The authors of various hundreds, thousands of books, Uri, and lecturers have, in terms of religious consequence, have talked for a while, as much as long as man's been around, there's been a need seemingly to worship some entity. But I think it's only been recently that the proposition of sharing the universal mind, God, if you will, the force, has become more of a mainstay. What do you think about the concept of the universe being just of one mind? And not, you know, we all talk about our minds, but are we just one small part of the whole?
Yes, Doug. First of all, I do believe that the symbol of infinity is the most powerful symbol in the universe because it means no end, which is hard for us to comprehend. What does no end mean? I'm a total believer in no end to inner space, which means you can travel into a cosmos of a billion miles and more in inner space, and you can travel into outer space, which is a cosmos that does not end. Nothing ever ends. And we have to ask the question, basically, one mind energy. What is one mind energy? Who are we? That's a question. Why are we here? Where are we going? Where do we come from in this universe? It's really mind-blowing. So I, being a religious man, meaning I do believe in a creator, I believe in God, I pray to God, so I believe that a one mind power, mind energy emanates from a creator. In my opinion, there is a creator out there. And the question again falls back to, wow, if there is no end, where is that creator? And that is possible that that creator is within us. That creator is within every molecule in our body. It's a very, very complex and complicated question to answer. But because I'm a believer, and here you go now, enter the realms of belief. If you are a believer and you activate no borders, then you can reach and you can touch that entity out there. And if you're a positive thinker, Doug, then that entity reverberates back positivity to you. If you're a negative person, you actually are reflecting that out to the universe. And the universe basically doesn't have laws. The universe has one law, and that's the law to return your wishes. I'm a huge believer in that. And, you know, while we're exploring the human mind, the brain, we're discovering every few years something new about the brain. And we only use 5%, 10%, 15% of our brains. What do you say?
I say we have the ability, but we don't for whatever the reason. And one wonders, actually outwardly, if this isn't part of the plan. If we have one mind, the universe from the beginning, the Big Bang, the one mind, this is something that's written about a lot. I've been reading a lot of Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes books, and the focus on how it began, because it had to begin someplace, even though now we say there's no beginning, no end to the universe, and there's no beginning or end to time. Time is only, the quantum physics point of view gives you a headache, because time, according to their philosophy or that philosophy, is that there is no time, really. We've created something it's a convenience for us, but it's not real.
Beside the fact that there might be no time, it could be also that I'm creating you. I'm actually creating you.
Yeah.
And you're maybe creating me. And how do I, or we as human beings on this planet, how do we fit into the universe with our bodies? You must think of it with our minds and with our souls. You know, this is a long subject, and maybe we should continue it again next week, because it's infinite. It's unbelievable, actually, how much we don't know about our mind, body, and soul. I'm, for instance, a huge believer in life after death, because Albert Einstein proved that energy cannot be destroyed. So we are energy. Everything is energy. This table, listen, I just knocked the phone on the table. It sounds too solid, but it's not. It's energy. Energy cannot be destroyed, Albert Einstein. Therefore, when we pass over, when we die, our energy transforms into energy and goes to a different dimension.
Sure does. It's really it really is. It's fascinating, mind-boggling as to what we can do with our minds if we put our energy. So you say we only use 10-15% of our minds, and I say to you that may be part of what that's part of the plan. And does it grow somehow or other? Yeah, we have so many questions and not a lot of answers. But when we have our conversations next, we'll talk about what we don't know to a fuller extent. Uri Geller here from his home in Israel, URIGELLER, urigeller.com. All right, let's get going into another mode here, all part, though, of our important conversations on Your Hidden Power. Mary O'Malley, at her website, psychicscout.com, discusses lots of things. I don't know if discuss is the right word, but certainly focuses on things that are aimed at helping the individual have a better life. A lot of people use the connection to, again, that single power. We're talking, Mary, today about the single mind of the universe. Is everybody part of the universal mind? And if that's the case, then how is it that we have things that show up? I wanted you specifically to address this. There's a story floating around about these sisters who were tortured by an 8-year-old boy and I think it was a 5-year-old girl, if I'm not mistaken, but it's a horrible story about how a voodoo ritual involved in torturing these kids took place here in Massachusetts, as a matter of fact. So when people see these things, they automatically go right to people like you and say, this is the religionists more than anybody else who say, this is all stuff, it's the occult, you're responsible for these things. This is all unnatural. It isn't coming from God, and yada, yada, yada. So how do you protect yourself and others who believe in this from the vagaries of stories and information about people that do this sort of crazy, sick stuff?
Well, I tell them about their own personal power. I've even talked to, people whose families were in this work for years and years and years. And we always still have a choice, but we have to know that we have a choice to accept it or not accept it. I've been, up in the air about whether I believe this or not believe it, but mm-hmm. I've seen the effects on people, and I've even seen it, energetically when I've been working on them. So at some point they decided to accept this. Now, children are not going to know the difference, right?
Right.
They're going to be frightened, and they're going to believe that this, someone else has this power over them. Or if the parents believe it, or, whatever it is. But we can protect ourselves, and we can dissolve that energy. It might take a little work. But definitely talk to a professional, someone who can walk you through it. But it could be just as simple as surrounding yourself with, a bubble of light to protect you. But either way, we always have a choice. We can fight it. We can dissolve it. We have that power. Nobody has that power over us.
So what in circumstances where you have worked with people that may have gone through this, did you ever have to straighten out somebody's mind? And I think you know what I mean. I don't know how else to put it, where someone has been so messed up by either things that they've learned from their mother or their father or someone else of authority, mm-hmm. and they get, these rituals, people think about them, the specifics I was talking about with the voodoo, we think about some of the movies where they stick pins in dolls and, that person has controlled the mind of another person. When you stick the pin in the doll, the person's body hurts.
Right.
That becomes, I don't know if it works or not, but I certainly would want to steer people clear of that sort of thing by getting them to go to folks who can really help them and not get involved in these people that just, if it feels weird to you, it's probably something you don't want to do. I mean, that's the bottom line. No, I'm serious.
Right.
If you're not comfortable being around, I remember, I think I told you this, I went to the boardwalk in New Jersey and this woman came out of her tent and chased me down the boardwalk and said, "I can save your life." And I turn around looking at her, "What are you talking about?" She says, "You have horrible energy around you, and for $500, I'll clear it all away." But that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. And then these people get really sick, and the mothers and fathers, what happens, these disfigurations. I mean, it's just sick. And so I'm trying to separate you from those people, because there is such a difference. But yet a lot of folks in certain churches and ministries will say, all of it's bad, it's the occult, and stay away from all these people, because it diminishes their power. That's all that does.
And it's really the belief in your mind. Mm-hmm. it's what your mind accepts as truth. If your mind accepts it as truth, then it is your truth.
Right?
But you can fight that. You can not accept it as truth. And you can fight it with love. Just send them love energy, let it dissolve,
All right, so.
But it's a real thing. It's a real thing,
It is a real thing. All right, so Mary O'Malley is at psychicscout.com. She's got a whole new way of doing things. You might want to check out what she has at the website. If you need consultation, if you need the coaching, a good place to find it, psychicscout.com with Mary O'Malley. Here on Your Hidden Power, Maria Francesca Trilogy, who is a beacon of light for people who see her. She's a great coach, and she's really astute when it comes to understanding how universe can be helped by the astrological signs, connections. Don't try to figure it out, folks, on your own. Don't do this at home.
There you go.
Right. All right, so anyway, you can reach Maria at smbworks@earthlink.net. February the 15th coming up, February 14th. And the 15th is a partial eclipse of the sun. The 14th is Valentine's Day. So Venus, every week we're talking about different planets and how they are impacting us. Venus is the goddess of love.
Yes, supposedly. It is. Goddess of love and beauty.
Yes. So how does this Venus, the planet, affect us in this next week or so?
Yes, how wonderful. You know, February is called the love month, and it's all about sharing love, it's all about expressing love, it's all about receiving love. So with Valentine's Day coming, I think Venus is important as it fits into all of that. And depending on what kind of sign Venus is in your astrological chart, which is not that difficult to find out, it will give you a focus on how you express love to others and how you receive love from others or how you want to receive it. So when we think about Venus in a fire sign, they're very expressive. They're very fired up about love. They're very passionate. When it's in an air sign, it's more mental. So they think about love more than they feel it. And, of course, in water signs, it's all about the way it just comes from straight emotion. And in an earth sign, it's more practical. It's more about, if you love me, then you are going to take care of me in practical ways, and I'm going to take care of you in practical ways. That's how we express love. That's how we receive love. And it's in such an interesting dynamic when you think about that and you look at your own personal chart to see how you express love or what you want from love. So, you know, with Valentine's Day coming, and you think about, even as you go through your own life and thinking about, well, what do I give to people for Valentine's Day? What's important to give? Is it candy? Or is it a book, you know, or is it something, or is it flowers, or is it something really practical? Like, I just don't have time to do that, so I'm going to do it the most practical thing. That's, to me, quite a fascinating planet, Venus, that way, you know, as it governs us astrologically. So when we look at, just watch how you are with your partner, if you have one, or if you're looking for a partner, what is it about another person that in a close relationship that would attract you?
It's something we all strive for, but we don't really understand. We don't understand human dynamics. We don't understand why people are the way they are. If you love somebody, why, you know, and this is a great month to focus on it because of Venus and Valentine's Day, the love month, et cetera, et cetera. But we all struggle with our love relationships all the time.
Yes,
and one wonders why it isn't, isn't it easier.
It does. And it takes a lot of compromise.
Yep, it does. Well, it takes a lot of, understanding, compromise, interest being a little bit broader, perhaps, with your overview.
Communication. Yes, there's a lot that goes on. I mean, love is beautiful and wonderful and one part of it. And then it's very complex, quite complicated.
So do you teach people when they talk to you and they want to have a review of their chart, do you then teach them? It can be so complicated. You got to make it simple for people, don't you?
That's all part of it. It comes straight down to hardly any astrological terminology. I do my best to just say, okay, this is what this is, and this is what it means.
Yeah. Maria Francesca Trilogy, SMB Works at earthlink.net.